TV live on Channel 21. If you are a member of the public wishing to provide live public comment and have joined us by website or smartphone application, when I call for public comment on a specific item, please do so by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen. If you are joining us by phone, please press star 9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, the clerk will unmute your connection, announce your name or the last three digits of your phone number if you are calling in, and let you know you are live online to make your comments. You will be timed for 3 minutes as our usual procedure. If you are streaming the meeting through Channel 21 or the county website and wish to provide live public comment through Zoom, please log in or call in early, as there is an approximate 60-second delay between the meeting and the live stream. Please remember to turn down your broadcast volume when speaking during public comment to reduce interference and feedback noise. I now wish to open for public comment for those items not on today's agenda for discussion. Staff, do we have anyone in the wings?
Thank you, and good morning, Chairman Campbell. No pre-recorded messages were received, but if there are any members of the public that wish to speak during general public comment, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 at this time. And Chairman Campbell, no requests to speak have been received.
I will close public comment then at this time and request for planning staff updates. Ms. Fowler.
Good morning, Commissioners. Alexandria Fowler representing the Planning and Building Department. Regarding reportable actions by the Board of Supervisors that pertain to your commission on this past Tuesday, June 22nd, the board received a countywide cannabis update and provided staff with the following directions. First was to update the cannabis ordinance to allow accelerated distribution on ag land type 11 distribution permits. The second was to update and create a fee study to do an analysis of the square footage versus gross receipts for taxation. The third item was to hire a tax consultant to do analysis of the program. The fourth item was to create a compliance monitoring team, which would include additional staffing and a program work of scope. The fifth item was to hold the current cannabis tax rate at 6% and not allow it to increase the 2% as it is currently slated to do so. And the next item was to create a cannabis advisory committee that would consist of members of the public as well as members of the industry. And then there was also direction to amend the cannabis ordinance to make it a 5 years at operation. So currently, the time frame for cannabis projects when they're approved is that they have to renew every 5 years from the date of approval. And this amendment would be after 5 years of operation. And then lastly, they directed staff to come back with information about the preparation of a programmatic EIR for the cannabis program. And we will keep you updated with that information because we expect to be coming back to the board periodically over the next couple of weeks to get more clarification on that direction. Regarding your upcoming hearings, your July 8th meeting is canceled since there are no items scheduled. And for your July 22nd meeting, you have a fairly full agenda, and these are the items that are tentatively scheduled. There are three time extensions. Two are for subdivisions. One is for a minor use permit. The two subdivision ones are consent items. The minor use permit one will be a hearing since it is the third and final request. There is a conditional use permit for a cannabis operations consisting of non-storefront delivery, manufacturing, distribution, and that project's located at 660 South Frontage Road in the community of Napomo. There's another conditional use permit on your agenda, and it is for a new wireless communications facility consisting of a 60-foot-high mono eucalyptus pole with 12 panel antennas and other associated equipment located at 210 West Tuff Street in the community of Napomo. There is a tract map with a conditional use permit, and that request is to subdivide a 1.6-acre parcel into 10 residential lots for the development of 10 single-family workforce housing residents, and that is located at the intersection of West Branch Street and North Thompson Avenue in the community of Napomo. There is a second tract map request with a conditional use permit for the creation of 12 residential lots and one multifamily lot for the development of 12 single-family residences and 24 one-bedroom apartment units located on the south side of Flint Place and at 651 West Tuff Street in the community of Napomo. And the third tract map with conditional use permit that's on your agenda is to subdivide a 4.7-acre parcel into a residential plan development for the development of 15 affordable deed-restricted residential single-family residents located at 1051 Wilmer Way in the community of San Miguel. And the last item that's scheduled on your agenda is a variance, and this is for grading on slopes over 30% to improve an existing ag road for the development of a single-family residence, an accessory dwelling unit, and detached and attached accessory structures. And that project's located on the east side of Old Creek Road, approximately 2 miles south of Highway 46, northeast of the community of Cayucas. And that concludes staff's update. Oh, I'm sorry. That doesn't conclude staff's update. I would like to also note for the public that we are going to continue at the Planning Commission and our other advisory bodies holding virtual meetings where people can call in to participate. The board did have their first in-person meeting in the chambers on the 22nd, but none of the other advisory bodies have been given that direction to proceed with meetings that way. So we will keep the commissioners and the public abreast of any changes as to the format of our meetings moving forward. And that concludes staff's update.
Thank you very much. Moving on next to the consent agenda, which consists of the meeting minutes from the last meeting. Any comments or discussions on there? Seeing none, I'll entertain a vote to accept the consent agenda.
So moved.
You have a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion is carried. Thank you. Moving right along then, we'll call for the next item, and that's hearing. Number four item is a hearing by Sharon Narion. If staff would please present that.
Hearing item number four is a hearing to consider a request by Sharad Narayan for a third time extension to minor use permit, coastal development permit, county file number EXT2021-00020, supervisorial district number 2, Kip Morris, project manager. And if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or press star 9 if you are joining us by phone at this time. This is in order to be ready to be called at the public comment portion of this item. Please continue with your presentation, Mr. Morris. Thank you.
Thank you, Ramona. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. I just want to make sure that you can all see my presentation screen correctly. Okay, perfect. Good morning. My name is Kip Morris, planner with the County of San Luis Obispo, and this morning I will be presenting an overview of the proposed project. The project before you is a request by Sharad Narayan for a third time extension for a previously approved minor use permit, coastal development permit, DRC 2015-27. This minor use permit was approved on June 2nd, 2017. The approved minor use permit allows for grading on slopes of greater than 20% and the construction of a new 3,125-square-foot house, including 1,895 square feet of decks and stairs, 1,142 square feet of attached garage and storage, a new septic, leach field, and utilities. The project would occur within a 7,563-square-foot building envelope on a 20,909-square-foot parcel. The project site is located at APN 74074024030 on the north side of Pecho Valley Road, approximately 440 feet southwest of the Nokomis Court and Pecho Road intersection, and approximately 200 feet north of the entrance to Montana De Oro State Park. So this is the last lot before you get to Montana De Oro State Park. The site is in the community of Los Osos within the Estero Planning Area. This is an aerial view of the project site. The site is currently vacant and covered with chaparral and dune scrub. There are also eucalyptus on the site as well. The proposed project is located within the residential suburban land use category. The surrounding area includes neighboring residential properties to the north, the east, and the south of the project. Montana De Oro State Park is located immediately west of the project site. The approved site plan consists of a 7,563 square foot building envelope on 20,900 square foot parcel. Development of the rest of the site is restricted by a no-build easement, and the site takes access from Pecho Valley Road. This slide shows the north elevation of the property. This elevation is facing one of the adjacent neighbors. This slide shows the proposed east elevation, and this is also facing one of the neighboring residential properties. This slide shows the proposed south elevation. This would be the predominant view from Pecho Valley Road. And this slide shows the proposed west elevation, and this is the site that would abut Montana De Oro State Park. Just for context here, this slide shows the relationship between the top of the structure and Pecho Valley Road. So as you can see, it's, the visibility is less than one would expect. Environmental review was performed on the approved project. A negative declaration was issued on April 26, 2017, with mitigation proposed for aesthetics, biological resources, transportation, wastewater, and water resources. The project prepared a botanical resources assessment and Morro Manzanita plan, as well as a non-federal no-take letter of concurrence for the Morro shoulder band snail. This project is for a third time extension, and the reason that construction was not begun was due to financing issues. Additionally, the project recently changed ownership, I believe within the past year. It was previously owned by Jouette, and now it's transferred to a new owner. The Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance Section 230242 requires that three findings must be made to grant a third time extension for 1 year. If approved, this project would be valid until June 24th, 2022. If substantial site work as defined in the Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance Section 230242 has not occurred by the end of the third time extension, the use permit will become void. And substantial site work is defined as work that has progressed beyond grading and completion of structural foundations. There are three findings that are required to approve a third time extension, and those are shown here. There have been no subsequent changes to the land use element or Estero area plan since the project's original approval that would affect the property development standards, so no changes to setbacks or anything like that. The physical characteristics of the site have not substantially changed since July 2nd of 2017 when the project was first approved. It is still vacant. Since the writing of the staff report, the applicant has obtained an updated will serve letter from the Golden State Water Company dated June 7th, 2021. So that's since the staff report, I believe talks about that they will be required to obtain one. They have since done that. So it is a staff's recommendation to conditionally approve the third time extension to be valid until June 24th, 2022 for the MUP CDP DRC 2015-27 based on the findings in Exhibit A that carry over the approved findings and conditions outlined in the staff report. And this concludes staff's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, staff. Before we go any further, I would ask if any members of the commission have any ex parte contacts to report. Seeing none, do you have questions for the staff?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I do have one question. Kip, thank you for that. You talked about substantial site work under the coastal zone land use ordinance, and I understand that, but is there any provision for a scenario where substantial work is done by that year's time, but then the work subsequently stalls, for example, the construction doesn't get complete? What happens if that becomes the case?
Yeah, I believe, and someone else on staff may be able to provide some more information, but I believe that as long as that has progressed beyond grading and completion of structural foundations, then that constitutes, moving the project forward. Perhaps County Council can weigh in on that as well.
Brian Stack with County Council. It's, substantial site work has a specific definition under county code, and once that occurs, the entitlement has vested. But should there be, the project stall after that, there may be code enforcement issues and remedies available, and also should there be a future change in land use ordinance requirements, that may mean, whatever has been built is not actually legal nonconforming. So it depends on, I guess, what the underlying concern is. But should a project stall, there are remedies under county code and state law that the county would have to address whatever the specific concern is, if that helps answer your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, do we have any representatives of the applicant or the applicant themselves?
I believe, yes, sir. I believe the applicant, Sherrod, would like to speak as well.
Is it time to do it?
Good morning, everybody. This is Sherrod Narayan. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
And thank you for taking this matter up. I would say that we appreciate your making the time to hold this hearing on our behalf. As Kip mentioned, we did purchase the property recently at the end of March of this year. Obviously, given that there's been no work done on the property thus far, we requested that that this extension be granted that would allow us then to begin work. Just in terms of context, this is intended as our retirement home, when that time comes. We are looking to use this as our property. This is not intended as a vacation rental or anything of that nature. I guess there's not a whole lot more to say there, except that this is something that is very near and dear to us, and we would be grateful if the board would approve the recommendations of the staff. And happy to answer any specific questions that the board might have.
Thanks
very much, Mr. Duran. Commissioner, do you have any questions of the applicant?
No, sir.
Everybody's quiet today.
I guess I might have one, and I don't know if it's the applicant or perhaps Public Works. There were some comments that were made by the public regarding the site access and the potential of moving the access point further to the opposite end of the development. But the previous applicant had talked about using some kind of a video system at the driveway egress onto the main road. And I'm wondering if that's still the intent of the new owner as a way of mitigating potential blind traffic coming through.
Kip Morris, county staff. So that is actually one of the required mitigations or one of the required conditions of the project. That they use, I believe it's video cameras or better technology, and that has to be reviewed and approved by Public Works. So that will still be required.
Very good. Thank you.
Staff or commissioners have any comment or discussion given the two letters that we received?
Well,
we just tackled part of it.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. We should probably open the public hearing and see if there's anybody who wants to speak on this first.
I can do that. We're still at the question stage.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. If there's no other question or discussion for that, I will then open public comment. Staff, do we have anybody on deck?
Thank you, Chair Campbell. At this time, if there are any members of the public that wish to speak on this hearing item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 at this time. And Chair Campbell, no requests to speak have been received.
Given that information, I will close public comment and go back to a discussion and deliberation.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question for staff, and just for my own information. In a case like this, is the hearing de novo, or is the question of time extension independent from the ability to change conditions of approval and things like that?
It is independent of the ability to change conditions of approval.
So it's either to grant the approval or not. Right, we really can't change
the approval. Yes, sir. Okay. And that would not be the case if it was a development plan.
Right. Okay. Okay. So the question then is: has the situation changed substantially enough to warrant that this project not go forward? Given the fact that we've just endured and still are enduring a pandemic that really closed down the society in many ways, I think that's as good as an excuse as I've heard for granting a time extension. So unless there's some objections, I would move the staff's recommendation.
I agree. I would support that. And if that was a motion, I'll make the second on that.
I'm taking that as a motion, Mr. Montari, and the second.
Okay.
Commissioner Villar, is that correct?
Yes.
It works for me.
All right. Very, very good. Well, we have a roll call, please, Ramona.
Commissioner Montari?
Yes.
Commissioner Villacana?
Yes.
Commissioner Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Henry?
Yes.
And Chairman Campbell?
Yes.
The motion
carries.
Very good. Good luck, Mr. Soroyan.
Yes, good luck.
Ryan.
Thank you very much. Okay, staff would please introduce the next hearing item, number 5.
Hearing item number 5 is a hearing to consider a request by Hearst Holdings to amend official maps of the coastal land use element. County file number LRP2020-00003, supervisorial district number 2, project manager Jennifer Gutschow, and if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or press star 9 in order to be called at public comment. Please continue, Ms. Gutschow.
Mr. Chair and Commissioners, Erlen Singwall, Planning Division Manager of the Long Range Section, staff is recommending continuance of this item. Staff received a request for Native American consultation, and we require additional time to work with the tribe to address the identified concerns. We are recommending a continuance off calendar because there's some uncertainty on the amount of time it'll take to you know, further study the site and address the concerns. And we provided your commission a memo reflecting our revised recommendation, and we've notified the applicant as well.
That's staff recommendation. I have a question for staff or somebody anyway. If we have people in the public willing to opine on this one at this point in time, do we take that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think we need to, don't we?
We need to. It's an advertised public hearing. I think we have to open it. And
yeah. So I'll open the public hearing then and ask if there's any phone calls or people waiting.
Thank you, Chairman Campbell. At this time, if there are any members of the public that wish to speak on this hearing item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9. And Chairman Campbell, no requests to speak have been received.
Okay, seeing no requests to speak, then I'll entertain a motion on this.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd move the staff's recommendation to continue this off calendar.
That would second that.
Oh, sorry.
And second by whom?
Christina.
Oh,
Christina, thank you.
Oh, I got I got the second by Mr. Henry.
Yes, please give it to him.
Okay.
I kind of thought I heard a couple of voices in there. Okay. Second by Mr. Henry. Any further discussion? Please call roll, if you would.
Commissioner Moultrie.
Yes.
Commissioner Henry.
Yes.
Commissioner Simpson Spearman.
Yes.
Commissioner Moultrie?
I already went, but yes.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
It's all right.
And Chairman Campbell.
Yes.
I missed Commissioner Villacana. Thank you all.
Yeah, so it passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, if staff would please introduce our number 6 item. Johnny?
Hearing item number 6 is a hearing to consider a request by Chevron Environmental Management Company for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2015-00067. Supervisorial District Number 3, Shawnee Sion, Project Manager, and if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raised hand feature, or if you are calling in by phone, please use star 9 in order to be ready for the public comment portion. Please continue with your presentation, Ms. Sion. Thank you.
Before that, is there any ex parte to be disclosed on this item? Seeing none, Shawnee?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Only that I did drive by the project site on both Tank Farm Road, and also on the west side of the airport on Hoover Avenue to just view that overrun area.
Kind of hard to avoid it if you take Tank Farm Road. Okay, thank you, Shawnee. It's all yours.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ramona, and good morning, members of the commission. Shawnee Seong from the Planning Department. For this item, I would like to introduce Bill Henry and Cassidy Williams from SWCA. They are part of the county team who are working on this project. Bill Henry has extensive knowledge on the original 2013 conditional use permit and the EIR that was prepared for the Chevron Tank Farm remediation project in coordination with the city. Cassidy Williams will be presenting the requested permit amendment today. Also with us online this morning, we have representatives from TriHydro, who are their agent for Chevron. They can take on the more operational questions should your commission have any later. So with that, I will hand it over to Cassidy.
All right, thank you, Shawnee. Just wanted to confirm that everyone can see the presentation screen.
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Great. So as Shawnee said, my name is Cassidy Williams. I'm from SWCA, and I am a contract planner for the county today, and I will be presenting on the Chevron Environmental Management Company conditional use permit, number DRC 2015-00067. So the conditional use permit before us today is an amendment to a previously approved conditional use permit, number DRC 2013-00056. And this amendment would allow for the removal of additional volume of non-hazardous impacted soils, which is called NHIS, on the existing 322-acre project site. And it would also allow for the modification of existing haul routes to allow for NHIS disposal at the Cold Canyon landfill, whereas current operations are bringing the NHIS to the Santa Maria Regional Landfill. So just to give a project site history, in 1910, this project site was constructed as a petroleum tank farm to store crude oil. And in 1926, lightning strikes ignited the vapors in reservoirs on site. And over 4 days, the fire spread to all six of the underground reservoirs and to 12 of the 15 above ground storage tanks. This resulted in an extensive contamination of the project site with petroleum products. All 10 storage or 10 of the 15, oh, sorry, 10 storage tanks and the reservoirs 3, 4, 5, and 6 were reconstructed and resumed operation until around 1990 when they were all decommissioned. And then in 2005, the property changed management to the Chevron Environmental Management Company, which throughout this presentation we'll just refer to as Chevron. They purchased the property and began plans for site remediation. So the project site's petroleum-related material essentially includes oil found in the vicinity of all of the former reservoirs in the subsurface of the site at an average depth of 25 to 40 feet. And in 2007, a remedial action plan was developed in coordination with the resource agencies, including the Department of Toxic Substances Control, the Regional Water Board, et cetera, to address the site contamination issues and to manage the identified health and ecological risks. So from that plan, a conditional use permit and project was initiated. Because of the project's proximity to the city and potential future annexation of the site into the city, it was determined that the city of San Luis Obispo and county would lead as co-lead agencies under the California Environmental Quality Act. And the name of the project at that time was the Chevron Tank Farm Remediation Project. And in 2014, the city certified the final environmental impact report for the Chevron Tank Farm Remediation Project. And then in concurrence with that, the county approved a conditional use permit, DRC 2013-00056, which authorized Chevron to move forward with the site remediation and restoration components of that project. The remediation project at that time had also evaluated the potential for future annexation of the site, as I mentioned earlier, and potential future development. However, at this time, neither of those components are proposed. So the environmental impact report prepared for that project evaluated the removal of up to 196,250 cubic yards of NHIS from the site to be disposed at the Santa Maria Regional Landfill. at the time of certification of this EIR, the Santa Maria Regional Landfill was the closest regional landfill that accepted NHIS and was permitted to do so. The conditional use permit also included restoration activities on site, and that was intended to restore the areas. The site is ecologically sensitive, and so it included a restoration component so that it could improve the habitat function and service of the habitats on site and improve the hydrologic function on site as well. So this is a vicinity map of the project site. As you can see, the site is located directly south of the city of San Luis Obispo boundaries. On this map, you can see the boundaries of the city of San Luis Obispo indicated here by a black dashed line. So you can see the site is considerably surrounded by the city, but not all the way. To the southeast of the project site is the county regional airport. And you can see the land uses that surround the site and are on site. Most of the site right now is currently designated for open space. And you can see with that previous conditional use permit, there were some services and manufacturing land uses approved with the intention of potential future development. But as I mentioned, no future development is proposed at this time. And this project site map, you can see an aerial. You can see the reservoir outlines as well. And you can see that Tank Farm Road bisects the project site. It is important to note that the remediation that has occurred up until this point has largely been to the north of the project site, and most, if not all, of the remaining remediation activities are on the southern portion of the site, south of Tank Farm Road. Just to give further context as to the work that has been conducted so far and the work that is remaining. You can see this table shows the total amount of NHIS removed from the site is approximately 162,000 cubic yards. And then there's approximately this much left. And so we'll discuss later exactly the difference, but essentially this kind of shows what's been prepared, what's been removed already, how much is remaining, and the total permitted amount difference between what was permitted and what still needs to be done is around 80,000 cubic yards. And this map kind of shows again the extent of the remediation activities that have occurred and have yet to occur. As you can see, the extent of contamination is fairly across the entire site. Some of these areas are also indicated not as remediation, but as borrow areas. For example, up here, the borrow area is still being used to use as infill for the remediation sites. So the project before us today acknowledges that there was an extensive amount of testing done on the site to try and estimate how much remediation was needed and about how much volume of NHIS would need to be removed. However, the extent of that is always hard to fully capture until they begin work, and there's been additional testing, and they found there's approximately 81,000 cubic yards of NHIS that needs to be removed in addition to the 196,250 cubic yards that was previously approved. So this conditional use permit would allow for that additional removal of NHIS. And another update that has happened since that initial approval was that in 2016, the Cold Canyon landfill was permitted by the Regional Water Quality Control Board to expand its capacity and to receive NHIS. It's also important to note that the Santa Maria Regional Landfill, which is where the NHIS is currently being taken, They are currently in the process of closing its NHIS program. So the proposed conditional use permit amendment would modify the approved haul routes to include Cold Canyon Landfill as an NHIS disposal facility. So this figure kind of shows an overview of the haul routes that and how they would be modified. Up here on the top side of the slide, you can see the project site. And this dark green line represents the proposed haul routes, and the red and red dashed line indicates the approved haul routes from the initial conditional use permit. So with the approved conditional use permit, project haul trucks would take a right-hand turn out of Tank Farm and either, or no, I'm sorry. They would take US 101 South, and they would essentially follow it all the way down to Santa Maria. And there was also an approved alternative route that utilized State Route 227 and went down and connected to US 101 South that way. On the way back, they would use those routes as well. And so with the initial conditions, they do prioritize making right-hand turns out of Tank Farm. And so depending on what side of the site, initial remediation project activities were more on the north side. So they would make sure that they would prioritize making right-hand turns on and off of Tank Farm Road to minimize safety concerns. With the proposed project, again, with all of the remediation is going to be on the south side of the project site, they will be making a right-hand turn on Tank Farm Road, traveling down State Route 227 all the way to Cold Canyon Landfill. And then on the way back, they have an alternative return route, which could be shorter and go up Route 227 and use Buckley Road. But the approved route that they will be using will be continuing on 227 down to US 101 and then taking US 101 north and using the Hygera exit. The reason that we have the approved route as being this much longer route is at the request of the County Department of Public Works. They specifically requested and worked with the applicant to develop this route because they wanted to minimize the amount of traffic on Buckley Road. So just again, a little more context on those haul truck trips. The Cold Canyon, use of the Cold Canyon Landfill as a disposal facility would reduce each round trip truck trip by an average of about 40 miles, which would represent up to 15% reduction in the total miles traveled for NHIS disposal. So even with that extended return route, it's still considerably a shorter amount of miles traveled from the currently approved project. The 2014 EIR conservatively evaluated a maximum of 177 heavy truck trips per day coming in and out of the site for disposal. And current operations generate more around a maximum of 60 heavy truck trips. And the proposed conditional use permit amendment would result in approximately 24 to 30 truck trips per day. So staff evaluated this conditional use permit amendment. We reviewed the EIR extensively with what was being proposed, and there were three technical studies that were prepared specifically to evaluate the impacts of this project that included the traffic analysis memorandum, a health risk assessment, and air quality emissions calculations. And staff found that the proposed amendment would not result in any additional or more severe environmental impacts than what was previously evaluated by the EIR. So therefore, an environmental impact report addendum has been prepared for the revised project. And this addendum also included some minor revisions to the previously adopted mitigation measures, which are also translated into the conditions of approval. These revisions are more to consider the recommendations that we've received from the City of San Luis Obispo, Caltrans, and the County Department of Public Works, as far as updating and, you know, conditioning the project to be consistent with current requirements. And along that same line, yesterday staff was in discussions with the County of SLO Public Works Department, and at their request, we did update a number of conditions to reflect updated language for site access, road maintenance, traffic management, and drainage requirements. So most of these conditions were already kind of in the exhibit. However, we wanted to make sure that the conditions going forward today were updated to be consistent with current code requirements. So code requirements have changed and become more specific since the initial conditions that were adopted in 2014 when the original conditional use permit was approved. And these conditions you can find at the bottom of the revised Exhibit B, and they are numbered conditions of approval 126 through 139. And with that, staff recommends the Commission approve Conditional Use Permit DRC 2015-00067 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in the revised Exhibit B. And staff are available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Do commissioners have any questions of staff's report?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Cassidy or Shawnee or Bill, we just saw the revised conditions from Public Works last night. I was wondering if they have been reviewed by the applicant and if it changes the, you know, the way they're going to be able to conduct the remediation going out from here.
So, Commissioner, this is David Grimm from Public Works. I can speak to this if you'd like.
Yes, thanks.
So I'd like to make an important clarification. These are my original conditions that were sent to the applicant and the planning department in January of 2020. So these are not reflecting revised conditions.
Okay.
These are the original conditions.
So the Chevron's seen this and they're okay with it?
Yeah, and it's...
That's merely my question.
Yeah, and if you have any questions specifically about the nature of them, I can go into more detail because there is some important aspects regarding flood issues, but I don't want to bore you with all the details.
Yeah. David, I just want to make sure that the applicant saw these and that they're okay with it too, because obviously we don't want to interfere in a significant way with the continued remediation of the site.
Understood.
Thanks.
I do have a follow-up question, and it does regard to the flood or the letter of map revision from the feds, from FEMA. And so my question was, you know, do you believe the designation from the federal government for the flood insurance maps is inaccurate, or what was the reason for the letter of map revision as part of the conditions?
Sure, I can explain that.
Thank you.
So as... one of the many hats that we wear here in Public Works is to serve as the local FEMA floodplain administrator. So we review development or any alteration of landform, so grading, for if it's in the flood hazard area, we review that development for any impacts that it might have on a flood capacity and any changes to the base flood elevation if one is established. And there is a base flood elevation here. We then require applicants to submit a conditional letter of map revision to FEMA. And this is sort of a, for lack of a better term, sort of like a preliminary approval of what they intend to do. And FEMA says, okay, this sounds all right. It's going to affect the base flood elevation in this way if this work is done. And then they do the work. Well, we receive that document. We then issue any grading permits for that work. They do the work, and then we ask them to submit the final letter of map revision to solidify what was done, and then the firm maps are updated, and that affects, it may or may not affect insurance for downstream properties. So the original project in 2013 that was approved, we required the conditional letter of map revision. Like this project, for some reason, Public Works conditions that we sent were not included in that project. We then worked with the applicant to still get this done. They submitted a conditional letter of map revision to FEMA and then to us in 2018. However, the work that was subsequently undertaken on the site was not consistent with the hydrologic analysis and the scope of work that was defined in that conditional letter of map revision. And this has been verified by site visits as recently as a few weeks ago by my staff. And so we've been working with the applicant to explain what the problem is here. They have recently, in concert with processing this project before you today, they submitted that same 2018 conditional letter of map revision that has since been invalidated by subsequent work. And essentially, they need to stop the work that they are doing right now, resubmit a revised conditional letter of map revision with a revised and corrected hydrologic analysis to FEMA and then to us, and then we will reissue the grading permit, and then they can go about their way. But if they don't do this, this has severe consequences for them, the flood capacity of this area, and for downstream properties. So the conditions that we asked to be put onto the project, again, were the original ones that we sent in 2020, and it's really important that they follow this. So I don't know if that was too much information or too little, but I hopefully kind of outlined what's happened so far in this project.
No, David, that was very helpful. In terms of the LOMAR, so when you said that the LOMAR that they, for 2018, it's not applicable. It's not applicable because the hydrology wasn't conducive to what the results were. What are you saying? Are you saying that more dirt was removed and the designation was different? Explain that, please.
So it appears that... first off, we had some technical issues with the hydrologic analysis. Secondly, the improvements that were done that had been identified in their plans were not the ones that were constructed.
Okay.
So there were some differences there. There were also differences in the area that was defined in that conditional letter of map revision and the work that they actually did. It was outside of that area. So differences both in degree of improvements and geographic scope. So it appears that that CLMR, the abbreviated term for the conditional letter map revision, didn't cover any modifications south of Tank Farm Road, even though this area is involved in the remediation work.
Thank you, David. And do you believe that the storm water conditions are strong enough if the results of the LOMAR or the FEMA designation for the new flood insurance maps will be enough?
Yes, our conditions as amended to you last night would be sufficient. Some of those reiterate the county flood hazard ordinance, and some of that language is a little bit confusing, but I'm certain that we can work with the applicant and the conditions as submitted to you to ensure that they can comply with FEMA standards.
Okay, great, David. What my concern is, and I know I'm concerned too, is however that map designation changes, and if it changes where it becomes higher risk, more insurance, that is mediated. Does that make sense?
Correct, and that is absolutely our mandated role to comply with federal law. We cannot allow any alteration of a flood hazard area that would reduce flood capacity or negatively impact properties downstream.
Wonderful.
That is exactly why we're pushing on this, to make sure that they comply, because if they don't, we need to stop work and follow the process.
Thank you, David, for that excellent explanation. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah, no problem.
Thanks, David. Mr. Chair, might I ask a follow-up question of Mr. Grimm, please? David, following on from Christina's question, she did ask, she touched on the volume of soils. So this kind of potentially revised grading plan, and that, has any analysis, or is it too early to find out if actually more NHIS are going to be required to be removed as a result of this revised plan, which sounds like it's still under development?
I don't know if I have an answer for you, or that if I understand the question quite clearly.
Well, we have a certain volume of NHIS that we're about planning on removing, which is upwards of 7,000 plus truck trips over the next few years. And I'm wondering if there might be more as a result of the work that is still being analyzed, and potentially maybe a greater volume as a result of the regrading or the change of the contours with regards to the question that Commissioner Simpson asked.
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Commissioner Henry, Bill Henry with SWCA, I think I can take a shot at that. I don't think it will. Chevron has been remediating the site for the past 5 years. I believe that they have a very accurate indication of how much more NHIS remains on the site. The amount that they've estimated needing in order to complete this project is based on additional testing that they've done out there, and then they've built in a 25% contingency on top of the amount that they're requesting, so that in case they do find more, as they peel back the layers of the onion, so to speak, the objective with the 25% contingency is to be able to take care of that material.
Very good. Thank you.
And I just have one more question for David, please. And David, it's in regard to the wear and tear on the public roads. Do you feel that the revised conditions are strong enough to ensure that whatever wear and tear is done on those roads, that is addressed? Just talk to me about that, please.
I think that part of it is fine. We already have a traffic management plan from the previous project, and so the condition that spoke to that was just basically saying revise that traffic management plan as necessary to ensure that the additional truck trips are included in the mitigations in that plan. And that's a good way to handle it, because the traffic management plan can be revised on an ongoing basis in my office without having to go back through, you know, the whole condition and hearing process. None of that, of course, it can be altered outside the bounds of what your commission approves. But essentially it says, you know, you damage the road with the trucks, routinely, you know, analyze what the damage is, and then repair that damage as necessary. And so we receive, video recordings of what the damage is, and that's a routine thing. We did ask them to minimize any kind of use of Buckley Road. We didn't preclude that and eliminate it entirely. We wanted to allow some flexibility there if necessary. However, we did have concerns about sending a lot of trucks down Buckley Road since we have a lot of other development on that road. It's beat up already. We have the Buckley Road extension, which is going to be commencing here in a few weeks, and there's going to be some traffic closures on that road. We have Avila Ranch development, so we wanted to minimize that part of it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further questions of commissioners?
David, I just have one. I was surprised to hear that what they've done in the field doesn't match the approved plans from previously. Are you guys making good progress in curing this problem?
I will say that we are working with County Council and the Director of Public Works to outline a path forward.
Do you concur then with the current staff report to that approving this amendment is helpful, hurtful, or irrelevant to the work that you're doing with the applicants?
With the conditions included as presented to you, I'm certain that we can resolve the issues. I don't want to speak out of turn with what's going on right now, but essentially, you know, we do have this mandated role from FEMA to ensure that they do not alter the flood base flood elevation, that they do not impact nearby properties, and if they have or are undertaking work or continuing to undertake work outside of the scope of work that was defined in the FOMAR, then they need to stop work. And so we'll, you know, and then we can re-review their grading permits to ensure that they're compliant with a revised conditional letter of map revision so that they can continue remediation. The work they are doing is important, and they need to just follow the FEMA process, and we'll help them do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Moultari, Bill Henry, SWCA, if I could add on to David's response. We've had productive conversations with Trihydro and Chevron. They're in the process of looking into what has happened in the past and how it can be remedied moving forward. Those conversations have included the Public Works Department, the Planning Department, and the City of San Luis Obispo as well. So, Chevron and Trihydro have had a very positive track record in the past of doing what's important out there to get doing what's needed to get the site remediated in a proper fashion.
Thank you, Bill.
Any further questions, if so? And at this time, I will open public comment. Staff, do we have anybody waiting for public comment on this item?
Thank you, Chair Campbell. No requests to speak have been received for this hearing item.
And then I will close public comment, and we can continue addressing those issues raised prior to this. Any further discussion or questions of staff?
Well, I guess I don't have any questions, but I just, you know, this has some similarities to the remediation that was going on in the Guadalupe in terms of the approach in that. But I'm taking it the thoroughness and how many things are actually considered. And just on a personal note, working with the Airport Land Use Committee, for example, in remediating the overrun from Runway 22 as a pilot myself, it's nice to see something that's turned from a ski slope into an abutment into something that's a bit more friendly in the likelihood of an incident of an aircraft overrun. And I'm only saying that because it speaks to the amount of thinking and thoroughness that goes into projects of this magnitude.
Yeah, I would concur. I find it disturbing that, you know, the information this morning that what was approved and what they're doing don't match perfectly. But I would agree that entirely that the depth of analysis and the detail that went into this, all the agencies that were involved, going back into the really more than a decade ago. I was actually on the City Planning Commission when the airport specific plan and this EIR was first being analyzed, and I'm sure Bill Henry can testify too. Again, on the amount of analysis that went into it and the complexity that's involved in this type of work. You know, there's naturally occurring asbestos on the site. There's a wide variety of biological resources. There was concerns about, from an airport's perspective, would biological remediation or enhancement increase waterfowl, and would that in affect the landing and takeoff of aircraft? So a lot of work has gone into it, and it's an important thing after 100 years to finally get this cleaned up. So I think we should move forward in having that happen, and I have confidence in David and Public Works that they'll work with Chevron and with SWCA and be able to make sure that it complies with the conditions that have been worked out over these years.
Nicely put. I have the same feelings in talking to, listening to David. I think they got their arms around it pretty well and probably need this to proceed a little bit. Any further discussion or comments?
I'd just like to thank Commissioner Simpson for her questions, which actually, you know, did answer all that through the mm-hmm. responses from staff. So thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Oh, thanks.
For the discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
Okay. And Christina, unless you want to make a motion, I would move the staff's recommendation with the revised conditions that were suggested in the memo that we received yesterday.
And I would second that.
Seconded. May we have a roll call, please, Ramona?
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Villicana?
Yes.
Commissioner Henry?
Yes.
And Chairman Campbell?
Yes. The motion passes. That ends the agenda-sized business. Do we have any questions of staff before we adjourn? It looks like, unless further notice, we won't see each other on this panel for over a month. So, seeing none, then I'll entertain a motion to take all testimony and documents into the record.
I moved.
Second.
Voice vote. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All right. Time to go get some lunch now if you want. Early one. Motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Okay. Second.
Second.
Okay.
Moved and seconded. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion is carried. Good meeting. Thank you all.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Christine.
29th of July, huh?
You guys, man, thank you, staff, for the great work.
Thank you.
Good presentations. Thank you.
Thank you all.